We come today to the third and the final reading for the scrutinies. Those who are looking to enter the church at Easter, again, especially those who are seeking baptism. The last 3 weeks we've heard these readings that speak of God's love, of his healing power. Each one of them has come from the Gospel of John. Each one of them has again had, as we've talked about, the theme of restoring what we broke through sin. John begins his gospel by beckoning the words of Genesis and everything he says again about restoring to proper order the chaos we have created. This gospel is one of the most beautiful texts we have in the entirety of the scriptures, and it speaks to almost every struggle, every problem that we can have. And so as we enter into the final 2 weeks of our Lenten journey, pray with it. Revisit it time and time again. Of course, we know the story of Lazarus. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, close friends of our Lord, those he held dear. And yet we see some difficult text today. Jesus is told, "The one you love is ill." Jesus says it will not end in death. But this is for the glory of God. As we speak too often, we all go through different difficulties and trials and have different crosses in our life. When they are the very heavy ones, a part of us is always uncertain why God has us carry them, why they were given to us. And in this life, for the most part, we probably will not know fully the reasons why. But it is for the glory of God. If we cooperate with his grace through those difficulties, through those trials, God can do something amazing and beautiful, just as we see him do today. And so, of course, the story goes on. Jesus says, "Let us go back to Judea." It's pointed out to him that the last time he was there, they tried to kill him, tried to stone him. Jesus says, "We need to go back anyway." But Jesus also says in the midst of this, "I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe." We will see in a moment the great sorrow, the great love that Jesus had for Lazarus. But in his complete abandonment of his will to the Father, his complete and radical trust, he says, "It is better, and I am glad that I was not there to save him. I was glad that he was able to carry this cross into death." And any of us, and I'm sure that's most of us, ever seen somebody ill to the point of death, there's much suffering. It's part of what Jesus is rejoicing in today. Again, he's looking at the entirety of the picture, not just the suffering for the sake of suffering. And Jesus says, "Let us go to him." And then Thomas, and again, this will be doubting Thomas on Easter Sunday and the Divine Mercy Sunday. The one that has to see and touch the wounds of Jesus. But today he has radical trust. He says, "Let us also go to die with him." Again, he believes that if Jesus goes back, he will be put to death immediately. And he believes that if he goes with him, he will be put to death as well. And yet he goes anyway. Great and radical trust. One of the things that we ought to pray with on a regular basis is, how much are we willing to sacrifice for our Lord? How much are we willing to give? How much are we allowing it to hurt for the sake of allowing God to own us, to do with us whatever he will? By the time that Jesus gets there, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. It's to make sure that we know that he is dead. This is not a misunderstanding, or he just fell into a coma and has come back. He is dead, as we'll hear later, stinky and dead. But Martha, one who loves Jesus greatly, one who Jesus loves greatly, says these words, and anybody who's ever lost somebody, anybody who's gone through a great pain, these are the words that we ourselves feel or say in our hearts. So imagine how heavy they were on Martha's lips. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." We see in this also radical trust of the power of who Jesus is. We can also feel the pain You could have prevented this. You could have kept this from happening. All the emotions are summarized in those few words. But even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. As much as Martha loves our Lord, as much as she understands the power within, and there's still a disconnect, she does not yet know that he is God. Knows that he is close to God, that he's a friend of God, but does not fully understand who is before him. And it's beautiful when we put this side by side with the blind man we saw last week, which is several chapters before this, because he worships our Lord. He who just encountered Christ worships him. This who has walked closely with the Lord still doesn't fully see. One of the things that we need to be mindful of in our journey is that we can always go deeper. God always wants to reveal more of himself to us. It's easy for us to get into a place where it's comfortable, where we feel like we're in a good routine, where we're just happy where we are, we become content. But God wants us to go further. Jesus wants Martha to go further. And so especially in these last 2 weeks of our Lenten journey, spend that time in prayer trying to open ourselves up more completely to God and allow God to draw more deeply and completely into us. The Jesus, of course, says, I am the resurrection and the life. Once again, ego eimi. One of the I am statements, revealing that he is God, that he has control over sin and death. Of course, pointing to his own resurrection. Jesus is then referred to as the teacher. Mary gets up, goes to our Lord, and says very similar words to Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, the great pain, the great suffering, the mist again of understanding to some level the power that is in Christ. Jesus asks, where have you laid him? Death, of course, we know is the consequence of sin, given to our first parents, inherited by each one of us. It is not natural. Even though we all will go through the doors of death unless Jesus comes back first, we have to remember this is not how it was supposed to be. This is not what God created us for. But yet in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, God once again comes to us to restore us. We see here in Jesus, God himself weeping at the consequence of sin, the weight of what we ourselves have done. And so in the fullness of his humanity, weeping because he has lost a friend. The God himself weeping because we have turned our back on him. So we reject him time and time again through the entirety of our life. Just praying on that line alone could take us the rest of our life. How much sorrow our Lord felt. Someone points out the great love that Jesus has for Lazarus. That is the exact same love he has for you. How he loves you so dearly. Jesus goes to the tomb. The way that it is described, of course, is going to be the same way that Jesus' own tomb is described. The cave with the stone lay across it. Also trying to symbolize the completeness or the absoluteness of death. At least as far as we understand it. But Jesus goes on. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus raises his eyes to his Father, to the heavens, says, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that you may believe, that they may believe that you sent me. The Father always hears them. The Father is always listening. Every one of our masses, every one of our liturgies, our prayer is always through the Son. That is why we pray that way, because we are not able to go to the Father ourselves because we are sinners. But Jesus goes on our behalf. That is why at every one of our formal prayers, we finish with something along the lines of through Christ our Lord. Or through him, with him, and in him. The unity of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do this. But just as Jesus prayed for Lazarus to bring him back to life, Jesus prays for us that we may come back to life. Through the gift of the Eucharist, through the gift of confession, especially through the gift of baptism, where life is given to us, the opportunity for eternal life. Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." It's like in the opening words of Genesis, when God speaks, things happen. Let there be light, there is light. Lazarus, come out, Lazarus comes out. Your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. This is my body, this is my blood. It is truly Jesus. The dead man comes out, once again alive. Jesus says, untie him and let him go. Our Lord wants to set us free. The entire backdrop again of our entire Lenten journey is the idea of the Exodus, and our Lord spending the 40 days in the wilderness is tied to the 40 years we spent in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land. The primary goal of that again was so that we could worship God properly, so that we could be in right relationship with him, so that we might be set free from our slavery to sin. When Jesus orders that Lazarus be set free, that is exactly what he is speaking about. This again is what God wants to do in our lives. There is nothing that we can do that can forfeit this life that Christ wants to give us. No sin too great. Could never have been gone too long. We make a gesture towards God, he is already there waiting for us. As we hear in the story, the prodigal son. Take this gospel to prayer. Ask God to show you how much he loves you and how much he wants to restore you and set you free. And beg that you might be able to be open to all the goodness, all of the graces our God has in store for you. As we continue in our Lenten journey, as we continue this Mass, let us pray that here, when Jesus speaks through me in a few minutes, we might have a better understanding and appreciation of the work that he is doing when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood."